Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And then in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let's pray. Father, we ask tonight that you give us direction in this message that we might understand the simple points that we will make of how we can assure that we do stay on those directed paths that we talked about this morning. And Lord, I pray that we might realize that it's not in us to have victory, but it's in you. So teach us what we need to know tonight and bless your people. And we thank you for their attendance tonight, Lord, on this snowy, cold winter night. Bless them for their faithfulness, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I'd like to entitle the message, Staying on Directed Paths. This morning, we talked about directed paths. And so how is it that we assure ourselves that we'll stay on the directed paths? Have you ever been talking to someone and lose interest in the conversation as your mind begins to wander? I've done this more times I'd like to admit, probably. Be talking to someone, and they're talking, and their intent in what they're talking about. And you were with them for a while, and then you started thinking about something else. And they're going on, and all of a sudden you realize you were not listening to what they were saying. And yet on your face you try to act interested because you don't want to admit that you just lost the train of thought because you were thinking of something else. Anybody ever done that? I know, I can tell by the expression of your face that you have. I don't recommend that we do that, but it does illustrate a point, and that is our effectiveness in anything depends on our ability to keep our minds on what we're doing. And our mind is affected by our eyes and what we are paying attention to. We might ask the question, where are your eyes? What are you watching? Who are you watching? What is it that your attention is on? When it comes to serving the Lord, we must make sure that our eyes are on Him. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finish of our faith. We run that race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus. This morning we talked about being on those directed paths that God has for us, and what a blessing it is to have paths that are directed by God. We know that He knows what He's doing, and He knows where it's going to lead. As long as we follow Him, it's going to turn out all right because He has directed our path. But if as we follow those directed paths, the way we stay on those paths is if we keep our eyes on the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 4, we looked at just a minute ago, verses 20-25 says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Now, as we look at that verse in connection with verse 11, look back there in verse 11, it says, well, verse 10 says, hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Now, this is Solomon, no doubt speaking and talking to his son, but also we could say that it's God talking to us. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, that Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. This verse says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. Christ is to us wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. That's righteousness, doing the right thing. And so Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. So we could say that to keep our progress as we should on those directed paths, we need to keep our eyes straight ahead, right on, our eyelids straight before us and really looking unto the one who is our wisdom and our righteousness, and that is Jesus Christ. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot far from evil. So how is it that we're to stay on these directed paths? Well, we keep our eyes on the Lord. And how we do that is we make sure that we keep our eyes off of some things. Now, I don't want to pick on Peter tonight, but it's interesting that Peter is an example of every one of the things we're going to mention tonight. And that is, he's an example of what we shouldn't do. Now, as I say, I don't want to pick on Peter because I don't hold a candle to Peter. I would like to be the great Christian that he was. And all that he accomplished, no doubt, was very much for the cause of Christ. But even though he was a great Christian, he was made of flesh and he made mistakes, as all of us do. And if anybody ever tries to tell you that they don't, then you just know that they're proud and they're telling a lie. Peter made mistakes. And the Lord uses his mistakes to illustrate some of the problems that we have. So how are we to make sure that we stay on those directed paths? Well, we keep our eyes on the Lord. And how do we keep our eyes on the Lord? Well, we make sure that we keep our eyes off of the circumstances. You see, circumstances are not our Lord. We do not serve circumstances. Circumstances might come and go and change and all of that, but the Lord doesn't change. But some people do serve circumstances. Their whole life is determined by the circumstances that happen in their life. If things go right, then they are right. If things go wrong, they are wrong. Some people, when things are going right, they're pleasant to be around. But when things go wrong, you don't want to be anywhere close to them. Because their life, their demeanor, everything is determined by circumstances. But we need to be like Paul. And that is, Paul did not determine his life by circumstances. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 13. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, Paul did not let things, either his accomplishments or anything else, get his mind off of the goal, and that goal was the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20, he also said it another way, in Acts 20, verse 24, and Paul said this, "But none of these things move me." You remember what he had learned, he says in verse 23, or verse 22, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." He says, I look at circumstances, I can say, none of these things move me. I haven't lost my focus. My eyes are still on the Lord, and I'm still pressing forward to Him. Looking at unhappy experiences, wrongs done to us, disappointments that we face, will cause us to lose heart and to quit and to feel defeated. Again, I hate to pick on Peter, but Peter is an example. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Staying on right paths, directed paths, in order to do that, we must keep our eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus. And how do we keep our eyes on Him? Well, we have to keep our eyes off of circumstances. Of course, we see circumstances, but we're not to concentrate on that. We're to concentrate on the Lord. Peter is an example of that. In Matthew chapter 14, Let's look at verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You notice his attention is on Jesus. His focus is, I'm going to Jesus. And what happened? He did what Jesus told him to do. He said, Come on, walk on the water. And he walked on the water. None of us have ever done that. I've never attempted it. My faith is so small, I wouldn't attempt it. Of course, Jesus never told me to either. That's one reason. But he told Peter, and Peter did it, and Peter walked on the water. But when he saw the wind, he got his eyes off of the Lord, and he got his eyes on the circumstances. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And so Peter is an example of getting our eyes on the circumstances. He did that, and what happened was he began to sink because he got his eyes off of the Lord. As we're walking on directed paths, the devil will do everything he can to get us off the path. And if he can get us, our eyes off of the Lord and on the circumstances, he'll start to get the victory. And so as we're walking on the paths, we know God has directed us to walk on. He has told us what to do. He has led us. But many times when we do the right thing, wrong things happen. Bad things happen. People turn against us. Circumstances seem very troubling. And we wonder, is this right or not? But we know it is because God has led us, it's according to His Word, and we know it's the right thing to do, but the circumstances try to tell us otherwise. The Lord says, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep your eyes off of the circumstances. Do what He wants you to do, trust Him, and you'll stay on those directed paths. But then there's another thing we must do to keep our eyes on the Lord, and that is we must keep our eyes off of other people. Keep our eyes off of other people. Now, there's a right way to have your eye on other people. You know, we're to have our eyes on other people because we're to look out for people's needs and try to help those people. You have people in leadership, such as your pastor and others, and the Lord tells you to look unto them and to follow them and follow their leadership as long as they follow the Lord. And so in a way, in a sense, you keep your eyes on people, but not to major on that. The major thing is we keep our eyes on the Lord. And so we must make sure that our attention is mainly on the Lord and not just watching people. You see, people are not our Lord. Circumstances are not our Lord. Circumstances don't tell us what to do. The Lord does. People don't tell us what to do. The Lord does. People are not our Lord. Some people serve people. They're always looking to people, and therefore their faithfulness fluctuates because people change. I've met them. You have too. People will say, well, I used to go to church, but there was this guy in the church that did this to me. And if that's what Christians are, I don't want to be a part of it. Or they'll say, you know, I used to go to church, but we had this preacher, and here's what he did. He ran off with the church's money. If I understand correctly, this church can look back in history and find somebody did that. And I've heard about it. I've had people in the community tell me about it who were there at that time many years ago. And I've heard about that. But that's no reason to quit serving Jesus. You hear some churches say, well, I don't go to church anymore. Not did the preacher run off with the money. The preacher ran off with the piano player or the secretary or whatever it might be. That's bad here because the same one is both. But that's not going to happen, see. But that happens in churches. That happens. And what is it? Well, people look at that and they say, well, I saw that happen and that does it for me. I don't want anything to do with that. What happened was they got their eyes on people rather than the Lord. People will disappoint you. Jesus never will. He'll never disappoint you. And so we need to understand that. Other people are not our Lord. Now again, Peter is the example. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 21. It comes in that great passage. That great passage. In John 21, verse 21. But before we get to that verse, so let's look at that great passage I'm talking about. And it says, verse 15, "So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my lambs. And he said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep." Now, we've pointed out before, when Jesus says, "Do you love me?" he uses the word agape. When Peter responds, he said, "Lord, you know I love you." And he doesn't use the word agape. He uses the words phileo, which is brotherly love. That agape-type love is the highest love, God's love for us. And Peter, you remember, just denied Jesus. And I don't think he was about to say, "Lord, you know I love you that much." He said, "Lord, you know I love you." And he used a different word. So the Lord asked him again, "Peter, do you love me with that high type of love?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you." And he used the second word that wasn't. And then the third time in the Greek text, you see, Jesus used the word Peter used. He said, "Peter, do you phileo, do you have that type of brotherly love for me?" And Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time. He said, "Lord, you know that I do." And it's a wonderful passage because the Lord's taking a wayward person, giving them a second chance, and saying, "I have something important for you to do." Aren't you glad God does that? Even though we fail, He gives us still something important to do. And He said, "You feed my sheep. Verily I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee where thou wouldest not." Peter, when you get old, you're going to suffer for me. Notice what it says. "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God." And somebody was going to take hold of Peter, and they were going to take his life. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter, you're going to suffer, but you follow me. Now, he didn't tell Peter all the good things. He didn't tell him, "Peter, you're going to preach a sermon on the day of Pentecost and thousands are going to get saved." He didn't tell him that. He didn't tell him that, "Peter, you're going to be one of the pillars of the church that I'm establishing." He didn't tell him that. He didn't tell him, "Peter, you're going to write 1 and 2 Peter in the Bible and for generations people are going to read it." He didn't tell him that. He just said, "Peter, you're going to suffer, but you follow me anyway." Wonderful passage. But then notice how Peter messes it up. Notice what he says. "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast." Now this is John, and John's the one that wrote this passage. "Which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do?" Lord's talking to Peter and said, "You follow me, you feed my sheep, all this. You're going to suffer, but you follow me." And Peter looks and says, "But Lord, what's this guy going to do?" And you notice what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciples should not die. Well, Jesus didn't say that. But they picked up on what he said and drew their own conclusion and said, "Well, the Lord said John's not going to die." "Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testified these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." So John's the one that wrote this. But Peter said, "Lord, all right, I'll follow you, but what about this guy? What about him?" The Lord said, "It doesn't matter about him, Peter. I'm talking about you. You keep your eyes on me and you follow me. It doesn't matter what somebody else does. You follow me." How do we keep our eyes on Jesus and therefore keep walking those directed paths? We do it by keeping our eyes off of people and keeping them on the Lord. You see, if you get your eyes on somebody else and your faithfulness is dependent upon what they do, then you've gotten your eyes off of the Lord and you've set yourself up for a fall, and you're going to get off that path that God wants you on, where you're going to receive the greatest blessings. We must keep our eyes on Jesus. He is our Lord. He is our way. He's the truth. And He says to us, "Follow thou me." But then there's a third thing that we do sometimes that causes us to get our eyes off of Jesus. And that is, we sometimes put our eyes on ourselves. We put our eyes on ourselves. We get our eyes off Jesus by watching circumstances, by watching other people, and sometimes by watching ourselves. You see, we can say the same thing about that, and that is, we are not our Lord either. Circumstances are not our Lord, other people are not our Lord, and we are not our Lord. Looking within is good for examination. Looking ourselves for examination. But looking within at ourselves is not good for encouragement, and it's not good for victory. Brooding over our weaknesses, our faults, and our failures will just bring defeat. Also, being proud of our accomplishments will defeat us as well. And so our attention shouldn't be on ourselves. It should be on the Lord. The Bible says there's nothing good in us, so why should we be focusing on ourselves and what we can do and how much we can accomplish? It's not that. Only Jesus, who indwells us, is good. And so let's keep our eyes on Him. J. Hudson Taylor one time wrote this. I want to read it to you. Taylor was a pioneer missionary to China and founder of the China Inland Mission. And he bared his soul in many of his letters to members of his family. He wrote to his sister Amelia at the time he was contemplating a perilous journey of 5 months by ship to begin missionary work in China. He was making every sacrifice and seeking to live by faith to prepare himself for a life of hardship and faith when he arrived on the field. He learned to look away to Christ very early in his ministry, and he wrote this to his sister. When we look at ourselves, at the littleness of our love, the barrenness of our service, and the small progress we make toward perfection, how soul-refreshing it is to turn away to Him, to plunge afresh in the fountain open for sin and uncleanness, to remember that we are accepted in the Beloved, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Oh, the fullness of Christ! Oh, the fullness of Christ! Taylor said, if I look at myself and I contemplate this journey that's ahead of me, I can be discouraged because I know I'm not as faithful as I should be. I can't do all that I want to do. I am weak, and I fail so many times. But he said, how refreshing it is to look away from me and look unto Jesus and know that He's the one that can accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Well, Peter again was sort of an example of this. And do you remember what Peter did? Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verse 33. Jesus had said unto him and the others in verse 31, then said Jesus unto them, this is Matthew 26, verse 31, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said to him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. And by the way, all of them forsook him and fled. It wasn't just Peter. And all of them said, we won't do it, Lord. We won't deny you. But the Lord points out Peter, because Peter says, No, Lord, I will not deny you. But the Lord said, yes, you will, Peter. What was Peter doing? Peter was looking on himself. And he got his eyes on himself. And he said, Lord, I look at myself and I am confident. I am strong. I won't do that. And the Lord said, Peter, you will. And sure enough, Peter did. How did Peter do that? Because he got his eyes off of the Lord. You remember what happened? They took Jesus and they took him into the place where they're going to put him on trial and question him and everything. And Peter was stood without and he started warming himself around the enemy's fire. And he got his eyes off of the Lord. They started getting his eyes on these enemies. And one of them said, hey, you're one of those guys that followed Jesus. He said, I'm not either. A little bit later, somebody said, yes, you are. You're one of those. And he said, no, I'm not. And then later, somebody else said the same thing and said, yes, you are. You're one of those. And Peter cursed and he denied. And he said, I am not. I don't know him. What happened was he got his eyes on other people and off of the Lord. But remember, first of all, he got his eyes on himself and he said, Lord, I won't do that. I won't do that. And sure enough, he did. And then when he got his eyes back on the Lord, you remember what happened? He looked at Jesus, and Jesus was looking out at Peter, and their eyes caught each other's eyes, and the Bible says that Peter remembered what Jesus said, and he went out and wept. He was brokenhearted because he denied the Lord. But what set all that up was Peter started off by getting his eyes on himself and said, Lord, I'll never do that. I won't curse you. I won't deny you. I won't do that. You see, we must keep our eyes on Jesus. He's the reason for our salvation. He's the reason for our service. He's the reason for our song. He's the reason for our security. The Lord Jesus Christ. We must keep our eyes on Him. We have some examples, other examples in the Scripture. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, and it's the story of Moses. Moses was asked by the Lord to do something, to get on that directed path, to do what God wanted him to do. And he almost didn't do that because he got his eyes on himself. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard the cry by reason, their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, and a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people and the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said, remember, his eyes aren't on Jesus, his eyes aren't on God, his eyes are on himself. And he said, who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. The Lord says, certainly I'll be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord your God, Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you. Notice God's emphasis. I see this. I see their affliction. I'm going to do this. I'm going to send you. I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to do all this. And Moses doesn't quite get it. He said, Lord, who am I? You know, I'm not able. I can't do it. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, behold, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? He said, a rod. You remember what he did with that. But look at verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto, for nor now, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. God as much as said, well, what's that got to do with it? What's that got to do with it? Moses, who made your tongue? Who made you? It's not about you, Moses. It's about me. I will do this. I will do that. And Moses said, but Lord, I look at me and I can't see how that's happening. And the Lord says, not you, it's me. And I can do it. There's another example in the book of Judges. Turn to Judges chapter 6. Judges 6, verse 15. It's the story of Gideon. Verse 12, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, this is Judges 6, verse 12, and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us, and where are all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? And now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel. And from the hand of the Midianites have not I sent thee? And he said to him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Again, it's not you, it's me, God says. But he says, how can I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. Gideon, it's not about you, it's about me. And I can do it. What was Gideon's problem? He got his eyes on himself. And when he did, he failed. In Matthew chapter 6, there's an interesting verse. If you'll turn with me there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. Says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If your eye be single, if your eye be focused on the right thing, there's going to be victory. How do we keep ourselves on the directed paths? We keep our eyes off of circumstances. We keep our eyes off of other people. We keep our eyes off of ourselves. Circumstances change. Circumstances discourage. People fail. We fail. But instead of having our eyes on those things, we have our eyes on the Lord, because He never fails. He never changes. And God can keep us where we need to be if we follow Him. May God help us to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for showing us from the Scripture where our eyes need to be. I pray, Lord, that we might know that, that we might keep our eyes on You and all the time follow You. Lord, I know our people here tonight have a desire to walk those paths that are directed by You. But I also know that our flesh and the world and the devil will do everything it can to get us off of those paths. Lord, help us to center our attention upon Jesus, knowing that He can give us the victory in everything. Encourage our people tonight, not about themselves. Encourage them, Lord, not about the circumstances that You're going to put in their path, not about their church so much, but encourage them about You, knowing that You will never fail them. Lord, we thank You that's true. So help us to walk those directed paths. Keep us there. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.